الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله أقعد على النور مجسم شاه آدم وبني آدم أو بلغت نبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حسن that the person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah.
Subhanallah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah. وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. You know, in Dars-e-Nizami, in Alim course, we learn something. We call it Mawdu'. Mawdu' of a book means subject of the book. We learn definition of the science that we are studying. And our teachers tell us why you need to know the definition, why you need to know the topic, why you need to know the purpose. They say, if you don't know the definition and the topic and the purpose, you are learning something which you don't know what you are learning. Can you afford to learn something which you don't know what you are learning? Does that make sense? You must know what you are learning. That's sensible. And now we are going to discuss a very important topic. Very, very important topic. Not because I'm discussing. It is actually most important topic. Not for only the members of Dawat-e-Islami, but for every believer in the entire universe. And that topic is why the Shari'i guidance is necessary. Once you have understood the topic of the discussion, now let's start with one verse of Quran-e-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran-e-Kareem, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيمُ. Surely Allah Azza wa Jal has bought from the believers their lives and their wealth. He bought. Who bought? When you buy something, do you buy something for nothing or you give something in return? I want your answer. You go to a supermarket, to a spaza shop, and you buy a loaf of bread. So the shopkeeper will give you a loaf of bread. Would he take something against it from you or not? If he does not take, then that is a free distribution that you don't call it buying and selling. Correct? But if he says, no, give me 20 rand, that's a sale. So sale has happened. Who's the seller and who's the buyer? We, believers, we the sellers. What did we sell? Our lives and all our wealth. Inna Allah ashtara, Allah bought. We the sellers and who is the buyer? Allah is the buyer. Allah must give price. Because we selling our life and our wealth. It's a sale. And in sale, there has to be a price. And Allah gives us a price. بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ against Jannat. He paid price to us in the form of Jannat and he took our lives and our wealth from us. What did you sell? What did you sell to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I want you to answer. You sold your life? You sold your? Okay. You sold it. You sold your car to someone. You said it's for 100,000. Person gave you the money. You took control of the money. Money is in your account. Tomorrow you go and you say, I want to use this car, I want to go to Durban. Can you do that? Why? Because you sold it. Somebody else bought it. Somebody else paid the price. The one who paid the price, he's the owner. Now the owner will decide how to use the car, not you, the seller. You got it? You the seller. What did you sell to Allah? Now, if you want to spend your life the way you want, can you do it? Answer. If you want to use your money the way you want, can you do it? Why? Sold. Does it belong to you now? Does your life belong to you? Your organs, do they belong to you? And what does not belong to you, can you give that as a donation? Can you give your kidney? Can you give your liver? Can you give your eyes? Why? It doesn't belong to you. So you give donation of something which belongs to you. You can't give donation of something which does not belong to you. Isn't this simple understanding? Okay. You sold something. You took money against it. Now this is someone else's property. But you still interfere in it. Is it justice or is it oppression? Answer me. A man, human being bought something from you, he paid the price. Now everyone says, no, you can't use it. If you use it, it is an oppression. It is zulm. So every decent person, civilized society will say, oppression not allowed, zulm not allowed. With human being you can't do this zulm. Are you allowed to do this zulm with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That you want to interfere in his property? Do you understand now? If you go and gamble with your money, can you do that? With whose money are you gambling? Can you use so-called your money to do haram things? Whose money are you using? Now if somebody tells you, oh my brother, don't go to casino, don't go and gamble, and you become very rude and you say, it's not your business, mind your own business, this is my money, I'll use it the way I want. And if that's your understanding, then you don't have intellect. I don't want to use heavy word. Simple, you fool. You can't give that answer. Muslim can't give that answer. If you give that answer, you're the biggest fool. If you say, it's my business, it's not your business, it's my money, I can use the way I want, you're the biggest fool. You are a thief. You are a robber. You're robbing the property of Allah, you're stealing the property of Allah. And then you say, it's my business. Every Muslim has the right to tell you, stop. Now since you know that the life doesn't belong to you, your childhood, your youthhood, your adulthood, your old age, they are there because you are there, isn't it? You have life, that's why you have childhood. You have life, that's why you have adulthood. You have life, that's why you have old age. You have life, that's why you are a father. You have life, that's why you have every other aspect of your human life. So it's a full package. So therefore, you can't say, okay, my life I won't use against the will of Allah, but my adulthood, I will use the way I want. Can you do that? That's part of your life. How do you differentiate? So everything that is attached to you in any form, that's your life. And your life is bought. And now you have to use it the way the owner of your life wants. This owner of your life has a deputy. This owner of your life has a vice gerent. This owner of your life has a representative, and that is your master and my master, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what belongs to Allah belongs to Him. That's why our Imam, the Imam of Sunnis of the world, our master, Sayyiduna wa Mawlana, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Fazl-e Barilvi, Nambar Allahu Marqadahu wa Radiyallahu Ta'ala Anhu says, Main to Malik hi kahunga, ke ho Malik ke Habib. Yani Mahbub o Muhib mein, nahi mera tera.
Nare Takbir, Nare Risalat.
He says, I will call Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the owner. Why he says, I will call him the owner? He says, because he is the beloved of the owner. Then he says, I mean, understand it. His logic, understand his logic. Yani, he says, I mean, Mahbub o Muhib mein nahi mera tera. He says, between the lover and the beloved, there's no such thing as this is yours and this is mine. Between the lovers and the beloved, what belongs to lover belongs to beloved. What belongs to beloved belongs to the lover. So we talked about the ownership of Allah on our life and on our wealth, which means it is the ownership of Allah and His Rasul. Allah and His Rasul, they own our life and they own our wealth. So now, you need to spend your life according to their wish, correct? You need to spend your life, your money according to their wish. Do you have some direct communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you ask Him that, oh Allah, how must I spend my life? How must I spend my money? Can you talk to Him? You're not Sahabi Rasul, you did not live at that apparent time of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you talk to him directly? Maybe some people were on a very high spiritual level, but we not one of them. Maybe they can talk. So we not at that level. We don't have direct communication. Now I say, I understood the masala today that I must give, spend my life and my wealth according to the way Allah wants, according to the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants. But how must I talk to them? There must be a way that I must find out how my Allah wants me to spend my life, how my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants me to spend my life. How my Allah and His Rasul want me to spend my money. There must be a way.
There is a way. What Allah wants is mentioned in the Quran, and what Rasulullah wants is mentioned in his hadith, in his sunnah.
Becoming easier, step by step, take more steps, it will become very easy. Okay, now I've found out something very interesting. Oh, what Allah wants is in the Quran. What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants is in the hadith. I found out something very nice. Okay, let me open the Quran and understand what Allah wants. Let me open the hadith and understand what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants. But then I realized Quran is in Arabic, hadith is in Arabic. I don't know Arabic, and that Arabic is also very classical old Arabic, and I'm not a scholar. I don't know Arabic. I don't know many other branches of knowledge which can help me to understand in Quran and hadith. So now Quran is there, hadith is there, but I can't understand. So what must I do now? I want rehnumai, I want guidance from Quran, from Sunnah, but I can't take it. Oh Allah, give me solution. Ya Rasulullah, give me solution. Allah and His Rasul gave us solution. Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. You don't know, you can't read Quran and understand. You can't read hadith and understand, so you don't know. But I want guidance because my life belongs to Allah and His Rasul, my wealth belongs to Allah and His Rasul. I want to spend my life and wealth according to the wish of Allah and His Rasul, according to the will of Allah and His Rasul. But I don't know where to get guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't go and run around this way and that way and wonder and can't find the way where to go. Go to ulama, they will guide you. Okay, very simple logic I'll discuss with you. There's a matter, there's an issue. There's a masla. You can be only in two conditions. You can be only in two situations. One is you know it or you don't know it. Can there be a third condition? You know it or you don't know it. If you don't know it, you don't need to ask anyone. Am I correct? And if you don't know it, then you need to ask someone. So if you are a great alim that can understand Quran and Hadith fluently, you don't need to ask anyone. But if you're not that one, then you need to ask someone. So who must you ask? The one who knows it, and that is Alim-e-Deen. That is the Mufti of Islam. Do you think that you have a choice in this matter? When it comes to Shari'i rehnumai, Shari'i guidance, do you have choice in this matter? No. You don't have a choice. As a believer, you don't have a choice. On every step, you must be in contact with some scholars of Islam. Scholar of Islam, you are a Muslim. Your whole entire life is around halal and haram, jais and najais, makruh and, you know, mustahab, allowed, not allowed, lawful, unlawful. Your whole life is circling around this focal point. Every step. हराम है, हलाल है, जायज है, नजायज है? Can you afford not to stay in touch with some good scholars who can tell you this is halal, this is haram, this is jayz, this is najayz, you can do this, you can't do this? Can you afford? So that means in your phone list, the most person that you may call must be the name of an alim deen. Most frequently called person from your phone system should be Alimadi. But many of us don't even have the phone number of an Alimadi on our phone book. Many, I always ask this question, I challenge them. I say, you have a phone number of a policeman. You have a phone number of a lawyer. You have a phone number of an accountant. You have a phone number of a person from the electricity department and water department. Even you have a phone number of a gangster. But where is the phone number of an alim-e-deen? The one who must guide you on every step. Or maybe you have a phone number, but you're not friend with him. You don't talk to him. You don't give him, you know, calls very often. You don't know him at a personal level. So when you need some information, you're not looking for someone to help you. Do you know that Hazrat? Do you know that Maulana? Do you know that Mufti? I got this issue. I want some help. Can you make a contact with him? Can you get me appointment with him? Now, why can't you talk to him directly? Is he untouchable? You understand this? The person you need the most in your life, he's last in your list. And every Tom, Dick and Harry is on top of the list. And then, there are two types of people who take Shari Rehnumai. How many types of people? One type is, they do something first and then they want to find out. That's one type. Shot three bullets one time. Talak, talak, talak. Now he says, Hazrat, I gave three talaks. Is it equal to one? Because that's what Mufti Google tells me. Now I got so worried and I went and I punched the few words and first websites that are coming and giving me information, they say, no, three is equal to one. That's a new mathematic in the world. Yeah, calculation, have you learned? One and one, two. One, 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 how many? Three. And that formula, where that formula comes, three is equal to one. It's a nonsense, isn't it? We ask them, are you sensible? You doctor, you teacher, you technician, you scientist, you must have got some brain, isn't it? Because you pass all these difficult tests and you got the degrees. Which mathematics did you study that tells you 3 is equal to 1? Now the same thing happens here. He gave 3 talaq, then he says 3 is equal to 1. And there are some, you know, people sitting in some isolated corners you never believed in them throughout your life, you were never connected with them throughout your lives, you were always Sunni, you always trusted Sunni ulama, but now because you caused the damage, you gave three talaqs to your wife, now you don't want to listen to your Sunni ulama, now you want to listen to that person that who's nobody. Now you say, no, that Maulana is giving me fatwa, three is equal to one. So people say, I take qasam, I do this, I do that, I made mannat, then they break the qasam and then they break the mannat. Then they say, Hazrat, what's the ruling, what's the kafara? Oh, I was fasting and I was so thirsty, I couldn't take it, I just took a glass of water, what is the kafara? You know that, what you call them? They do something, but they still have some iman in them that they worry about and they say, no, let me find out. Let me find out, is there a way for me to get out of it? Can I repent? Can I pay expiation? Can I pay kafara? So I can face the difficulty here and I'm saved from the difficulty of the akhirah. That's the one group that takes shari rehnumai. And then there's another group. That's the top group. And that's the group Dawat Islami prepares. The top group is that who takes shari rehnumai first and then do. Hey, I have an opportunity to do a business. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, please help me. There's an opportunity to make a deal. I can make a lot of money. These are the conditions. But before I sign, I want to make sure that this is jais, this is halal. And then when Alim-e-Deen Mufti gives them the advice, then they go and do. You will see, Darul Ifta, Ahle Sunnah particularly, because it belongs to Dawat Islami, and Dawat Islami develops this mindset. Then they're always running to the ulama, to the muftis. If I do this, then what is the sin? If I do this, then what is the sawab? If I do this, is the rozi is going to be halal? Is the rozi is going to be haram? So they always keep ulama busy because they don't want to go and do the damage and then go and ask. Their mindset is, let me do everything at the first place correctly and don't do any damage. Understand? So now we belong to Dawat-e-Islami. We can't be the first group. We have to be the second group. Isn't it? Otherwise, what's the difference between you, the trained people, and the untrained people? Layman and you, Madni Mahal. There must be a difference, man. A layman goes and makes blunders and then he wants to put things right and repair it and fix it. Now, if you know that three talaqs are three talaqs, and there's one person who doesn't know three talaqs are three talaqs, so there must be some difference between you two. So the one who knows, he will always be very sure, no, I can't give three because then the chapter is closed. Because he knows. So we in Dawat-e-Islami, with the fadl of Allah Azza wa Jal, so many Islamic activities and opportunities of learning Islam and deen and awakening and making us feel that we must not commit any sin. We must belong to the second group who's always worried about halal and haram. They walk, on the thorny path and they are bare feet. So how much they walk? Let's say put thorns around it, or pieces of broken glasses around it, and you are bare feet. Tell me, how are you going to walk? You won't just close your eyes and start walking. You won't just walk anyhow. That should be our position. Dunya is prison for the believer and it is paradise for the kafir. How do you live in prison? Tell me. You get up when they want you to get up. You sleep when they want you to sleep. You eat when they want you to eat. You can't just do anything you want. You're not free. There's a difference between free man and a prisoned man. And if you are free, in the morning you decided, let me go to Cape Town. You sat in your car, you bought a ticket, you went to Cape Town. But there's a person in the prison in Cape Town and he says, let me go to Bloemfontein. Can he do that? Why? Restricted. Moment is restricted. You go all over the world, you are a Muslim, what you look for? Is there halal food? Does the kafir do that? He eats anything. When you drink something, you want to make sure, is it jais halal for me? When you want to eat, you want to make sure, is it halal for me? You want to spend time with a woman, you first see how to have a woman with me that is halal for me. So you will put a proposal, you will put a mahar, you will have nikah, you will have ijab and kabul, and she becomes your wife, you take her full responsibility. And what the kafir does? In every town he goes, he makes a girlfriend, makes a baby, goes to another town. Makes a girlfriend, makes another baby, goes to another town. Can you do that?
No.
You can't. You're not a free man. He's a free man. But trust me, when our eyes close, when we die, the freedom of Muslim will start. And when the kafir dies, his prison starts. Just be patient, little bit patient. This life will just pass just like that. You want to taste the real freedom? Worry about halal and haram, jais and najais. Ask masla from the ulama, take fatwa from the muftis. Stick to that. And then we are Dawat Islami, we are organization, we are tanzeem. And within our mahal, we need to have a lot of rehnumai, shari rehnumai in our organizational structure as well. Because we run on fun, isn't it? Where do we get that fund? Do we have a well that fund comes from there? Or do we have a machine that producing notes and money all the time? Where do we get money? We made chanda, fundraising, donations, waqf money. Doesn't belong to us, belong to people. Who gave for the pleasure of Allah to earn sawab. So you need shari rehnumai, guidance on every step, how to use that money. You can't be unmindful about it or neglectful about it. If you are responsible, if you are a nigran of any shoba, any department, if you are responsible, make so that you always get shari rahnumai, so no abuse is done. Abuse is not always of money. Abuse can be of authority as well. You are a big nigran, you are authoritative, and you are now dealing with people unfairly. So you need to have shari rahnumai. How must I treat people that who are under me? Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum masoolun ar ra'iyatihi. Each one of you are responsible, and each one of you would be responsible about the people who are under you, how you dealt with them, how you treated them. So inshallah azza wa jal, in this mushbar, mu'attar, fragrant environment of Dawat Islam, Dawat Islami has perfumed our outside and our inside. We cannot allow the bad odor reach to Dawat Islam. Bad smell. You know, filthy smell. Forget about the filth itself. The filthy smell. We cannot allow come near our beautiful, fragrant Dawat Islam. And this will happen if we have a habit of knowing halal and haram, knowing jais and najais, knowing what we can do and what we can't do. Developing that mindset and that habit, before I do something, I will find out. So if we can reach this level, trust me, then we will become that type of muballighs that Amir Ahle Sunnat wants us to become. So your habit of always caring about halal and haram, jais and najais, you know, if I do this, I'll get more sawab, so let me take that option. Dawat Islami people, they read their akhsa nawafil, they read tahajjud, they read awwabin, they read chashd, they read, you know, all extra namazes. So they make an impact upon the people. This is what Amir Ahle Sunnat teaches us. This is part of our nek amal. That we must practice this, we must practice this, we must practice this. Even though many things that we do are not compulsory, not necessary, they're mustahab, they're optional. But he puts that in our program because he wants to make us leaders, not ordinary men. And leader is the one, when he does extra, then people will do something. I've heard some scholars saying that when leader, a religious leader, when he leaves wajib, the public will leave farz. When he leaves sunnah, the public will leave wajib. And when he will leave nafil, the public will leave sunnah. Because you're the leader, they expect you to do more. But you don't read Sunnah, you don't read Nafil, you don't read Sunnah Ghair Muakkada, you're technical, you're Maulana, you know this is necessary, this is not necessary. Like one doctor one day told me, he had a flu, he was my friend. I said, why don't you take medicine? He laughed, he said, no, I can't take. I said, why? He said, there's no medicine for flu. So I said, why you guys give us the medicine? When we have flu, we run to you, you make money out of us, and you give us medicine. He said, no, you don't know these things. You will come right because now you feel you are being treated. That feeling will help you because that will help your immunity, your immune power. Now I'm being treated. But now he says, I'm a doctor, I know what we give you, I know exactly that there's nothing. Maybe it just gives you a few hours of extra sleep, something like that. Now you become Maulana, you become Alim, you become Imam. Now you into technicalities. Now you say, this is must, this is not must. This is farz wajib, this is not farz wajib. This is mustahab, this is optional. If you do, then you get extra sawab. If you don't do, there's no sin upon you. Now you technical. So many of you Maulanas that study in Jamiat and Darsi Nizami, you laugh at the ordinary Muballighin who are reading a lot of Nawafil. You see, look at this mazdoor, this laborer, this hard worker, you know, unnecessarily putting himself into so much of labor, and then he expects me to do same. No, I'm a Maulana. I know what's necessary and what's not necessary. Slowly, 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 they run away from all mustahabbat and nawafil and sunnat ghair muakkada. That's why Allah sent Dawat Islami to us so it can be revived again. So our leaders, our ulama, our imams can start tahajjud. Our imams can start sunnat ghair muakkada. Our imams can start awwabin and chast and all these nawafil.
Jazakumullah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
مبارك فيك اسمعي فيك may you keep ascending success share مبارك فيك اسمعي فيك may you keep ascending